How are things out there? I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but what with I know it's bad everywhere. We got some more rules handed down yesterday as far as COVID restrictions. How has it affected your life and kids and that for the time being?
Well, the whole time we've been shooting the show, we had to hurry up and shoot the show just on the weekend so it'll air on Thursday. But that's been the biggest thing for us is the lockdowns going in and understanding, I guess, how many people got to be indoors. So there's going to be, I guess, hockey got shut down too. There's been a lot going on. So, yeah. I mean, are you happy about it? No. Do you got to do it? I guess yes. And try to keep everybody safe. But it's not going to be easy. So these times you got to rely on friends and family a lot and Zoom calls and FaceTime to keep everyone, you know, their mental health and everything happy. And yeah, I don't know. It's going to be for sure a trying month.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you equipped to help out your kids with the online learning? Because I'm in hot water. I got one kid who's in high school. The other one's in junior high and I've been left behind long ago. I'm no good.
Yeah, that online learning we did at it would have been in March. That was probably the hardest month of my life for online teaching. Yeah. It is not easy. And that's when you realize teachers do deserve 2 months off in the summer because it is so hard. So right now they're actually still letting our kids go to school. That's the biggest thing. Their hockey was canceled and their indoor soccer. So activity-wise, they have none, but school, thank goodness they left it open.
And then there's the Warner approach. You get away and you go to where the restrictions aren't that stiff and you wrestle alligators, which is what he was doing yesterday down in Florida.
Yeah, they're golfing and wrestling and they're doing everything down in Florida.
You just got to be quick, Steger. You got to get out of the way of that snapping jaw. It's not a problem for me. It was known for my speed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the clip of the old guy jumping in the pond and saving the puppy from the alligator?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Guy's a hero.
I don't think I'd do it.
You, Rhett.
Well, I love dogs.
Yeah, you do love
huge
dogs.
Dog.
Yeah, he's a huge dog fan. We've talked about this, and we don't really need to get into it, but I figured, and I don't know, maybe you have seen it, but there was an article written on thehockeywriters.com. Guy writes, covers the Boston Bruins, and the title was Bruins That Got Away, and you were one of the players that got away from the Boston Bruins. They're lamenting the fact that Peter Chiarelli decided to trade you for Brandon Bochenski, and then, of course, you went on to help Chicago win a cup, and Bochenski played 51 games over 2 years, 11 goals and 17 assists, and then was traded for Shane Knighty in a sixth. So they squandered you. They didn't know how good they had it when they had you.
Well, I still remember that. I was on a bus to Manchester, and I kind of got told a few days before that I was going to get called up. So I got called up to the front of the bus, and Scott Gordon's like, I got news for you. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the show. We traded you. I'm like, oh, okay. And I remember a few weeks before that, we were sitting at a restaurant in Norfolk. I'm like, if there's one team I don't want to be traded to, it's the Chicago Blackhawks. And I asked him, I'm like, where am I going to? And he wrote on a paper and slid it to me, and it said Chicago. And I was like, my career's over. And so that for me was a very vivid memory still to this day. And I also remember getting to Norfolk, and the second day there, we're all in a limousine and we're having drinks, and they do this game. It's laddie, 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 low. And then at the end of the song, they go, I don't know why we brought in Chris and got rid of Bo, you know? And I still remember that till this day. And I was like, oh boy, this team doesn't want me. They got rid of their top scorer. I'm now here. My whole career is done. But it ended up working out, and now I made the list, I guess, Boston list.
Warner, lots of stories written there, too, in both Florida and Buffalo about how you got away.
Well, shouldn't have. I mean, I led the team to the finals both places, and then they let me go. I don't know what you want me to brag about more.
No, that's good.
First year guy taking the team to the finals.
Yeah, teams
haven't they
been
back since, right?
How about this, though? No, they haven't. In Florida, they traded Jovanovski, and I am not putting myself in Eddie's in his realm of abilities, but me as well, and or I, however you say it. What's the right way, Pinder? Anyway, you get rid of two early, young 22 maybe 23-year-old defenseman.
Yeah, Jovo was like, 4 years 4 years into his career in Florida, so he'd have been like 22.
We both were.
Yeah.
We were 22, 23 years old, and they got rid of both of us. And I'm not saying, they got Burry back, but it's like, what team trades two early 20 defensemen that have been playing for your team for a few years? You know what I mean? Like, you got rid of what you're supposed to be building around.
It's not like they blew the picks. They spent a first on Jovo, a second on you. You guys have stepped in and are playing, and they still decided to dust you.
Like, yeah. You would be absolutely, as a GM, ripped for making moves like Joe Eddie. Now, again, they got back Burry, and not the bad Burry, the good Burry. But even then, Jovanovski, your first overall pick, like kind of the face of the franchise, and you decide to move him. And then, anyway, yeah. I think in today's world, if you would be absolutely crucified, going, what is going on in Florida?
Yeah.
Anyway. Social media would have went nuts.
Yeah.
Who was, over your career, I'm thinking from the other side, if you're left in that Florida room and you see Pavel Bure come in, and that's nice, but it's not always that way. Who was the hardest, wherever you were at any given time, a buddy of yours or a teammate that you really loved got traded, and what's that like, being kind of left behind after the guy leaves?
You asking me or Steger?
Steger.
For me. You know what? The hardest one for me, he was a roommate and buddy, was Cam Barker. It was in 2010. They traded him to Minnesota. They brought in Kim Johnson, and then Kim Johnson ended up not even playing. I believe he had some concussion issues. And then we went on to win the Stanley Cup, and we were all like with Barker since 2007. Again, like one of my close buddies. That, still to this day, it's hard to see, because he was with us, like helped bringing the franchise back in 2 months before winning a Stanley Cup, or 4 months, 5 months, whatever, but 2 months before the playoffs, they trade him, and the guy we trade him for doesn't even play, and I feel he's been robbed of a Stanley Cup ring.
I watched him throughout that his career in Medicine Hat. He goes third overall. What happened with Cam Barker? Because he was obviously highly touted and so much thought an elite player, and it never really panned. He played enough games, played 300 games, but still not what you expect from a third overall pick.
Well, so playing against Cam, I remember we were 16 and he was in Medicine Hat. He was a man at 16, like a beard. And you looked at me and I didn't have a hair on my face. You know what I mean? I was a little child. And so I don't know if a bit of that kind of caught up to him later on. Well, his abilities were so high, he was still good enough to play in the NHL, that everyone else's physical nature, I guess, caught up later on. So maybe that was a bit of it, because his foot speed. But all in all, his shot, he had an absolute hammer of a shot. His hockey IQ was high, but the one thing was, as the game sped up, maybe his feet would have been the one thing that held him back consistently. Because he could play in all three zones, and he was tough. He was a pretty tough guy too. So for me, I think every time he got traded, they thought he was going to come in and be that number one offensive D. And he just isn't that number one offensive D. He would probably slide into like a third role D. But as a power play guy, which he did for us in Chicago very well, he played on the top power play unit there for a couple of years, but he was the third pairing D. And other teams, as time went on, didn't want to pay third pairing D-man that much money. And I think he couldn't really find that third pairing defensive role. So he kind of got out of the league. And you see a lot of guys like that finding their roles. And he was just one who couldn't do that. But he went over to Europe and he made a ton of cash. And he had a great career over there. And
I'm thinking, because you mentioned Barker and how good he was in junior. Christopher Stieg is our guest for those just dropping in. Who would be a guy, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but someone you played against or that you saw in junior that you thought, this guy's going to be a horse in the National Hockey League, and it never panned out, whether it was for whatever reason, speed or the skill, whatever it is, that never ended up being an elite NHLer?
There's two guys. And it was my 16-year-old year. I'd never seen two guys dominate a game as much as these guys. I thought they were going to be bona fide NHLers. They're both the 20s. Jeremy Jackson. I don't know if anyone has heard of him. He led the league in scoring. He basically played 50 games. He was late to every practice. He was the funniest guy, great guy, but I don't think he could just put it together. And as a pro, you got to be on time. You got to be dialed in. And I don't think he could do that. But talent-wise, he was the most talented player, hands down, I've ever seen in the WHL. And I thought he was going to be the guy. I thought he was going to be an NHLer. And Mike Worrell would have been the other one. They played together, just an absolutely insanely talented guy. He had concussion issues, mm-hmm. and I believe that was one of the real things for him that held him back, especially at the pro level. He just couldn't get over the concussion issues, and he had to stop. But Mike Worrell and Jeremy Jackson are the two most talented players I'd ever played with in junior hockey.
Yeah, I was in Brandon covering the Wheat Kings when Worrell was there, and I remember, too, it was like, this Worrell guy is going to be, this he's a stud. But he couldn't stay healthy, and he couldn't connect the dots. Warner, for you, again, a different era, but who would you have played with or against in junior that you thought, this guy's going to go get Hall of Fame, and then just doesn't get it done?
I don't know about Hall of Fame, but I've brought up Frank Bantam's name before.
Yeah.
He was just a guy that had this generation's skill back then. Right? Like, he could handle the puck and skate and shoot, and just, he had the work ethic actually off the air. Like, he trained pretty hard. But again, he's another guy. Practice? When's practice? Oh, darn it, I'm late again.
Yeah.
Off the ice, couldn't put it together. So, and again, and had huge numbers over in Europe, too.
Yeah. So. For people that don't
know
Frank.
He's my buddy's agent.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He's Colton Yellowhorn and all those guys in Europe. He's their agent.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For those that don't know, how good was Frank Bantam in, I guess it's his overage year, 72 games, he had 83 goals.
That's insane.
83 goals, 152 points in 72 games, on a line with Clark Wilm.
So, yeah.
Not bad. And that sounds like a shot to Clark Wilm, but again, and Mark Dielle was the other guy in that line. We talk about it off and on, but of all the guys, of the three, Wilm was the distant third of the guy that you thought was going to be able to get to the NHL and hang around for a while.
If you look at Jeremy Jackson, I believe he lost 1 point to Joffrey Lupul, and he played maybe 10 or 12 games less because we had to keep suspending him for missing practice.
He had 102 points in 65 games in his overage.
Was that his overage?
It was the last year that they see here, his second year in Lethbridge.
Well, he was getting, there was multiple times we couldn't play him because he just didn't show up for practice. And he was like in the point race too. I believe it was Joffrey Lupul. I could be wrong. Maybe not. Maybe that was the year before. But he, one of the most talented guys I've ever seen.
And Brian Maxwell was your coach.
Brian Maxwell, yeah.
He'd have no problem scratching him.
No problem. I'm not going to say the name too, but I seen him cut a guy using a pair of scissors. He just came in, he closed the scissors, he said, "You're cut."
Come on. Yeah, Brian Maxwell, someone should write a book on Maxie, because you talk about throwback.
This, yes.
Like the stuff that happened when he was behind the bench, good heavens.
Well, he was, you know what, I owe Maxie a lot, though. He gave me an opportunity when I didn't think I was going to get one, and he taught you how to play hard, and play hard in every practice. There was no joking around, but you're right. The one-liners he had, I still use today.
You have much with him, Retro?
No. No, I didn't interact with him at all.
Yeah.
Just I knew who he was and what he was and played against his teams, but no, not.
I've told the story on the air. He was coaching Lethbridge, and it was Shane Willis who was playing for the Hurricanes at that time. And he took a cross check in the mouth, and it knocked his four top teeth out. And he just, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, that sucks. Like, that's really, really an awful thing to happen to a kid. And I'm doing post-game interviews, and he walks out, Willis walks out of the locker room, and he's just gray. He's sick. You can tell he's in shock and the whole thing. He just looks awful. And I'm waiting for my camera guy to come so we can shoot this post-game, and Maxie's having a dart over by the bus. And I said, so how's Willis? He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, Shane Willis, he took that cross check. Lost a bunch of teeth. How is he? Well, what? I don't know. Lost 4 or 5 teeth. What? Yeah, he's fine. Just absolutely unfazed that this 17-year-old kid or how 18-year-old kid or whatever lost about 5 or 6 teeth, and now he's got to get on the bus and ride from Brandon to wherever. Best case is Regina, right? A nice 3.5-hour bus ride.
Well, he threw the water bottle at the refs, right?
That's
when
right.
When he got the suspension during the Mem Cup and Perry Shockey came in. They lost in the finals to Hall, right?
Yeah.
Was it Hall and Christian Dubé? He might have been the other guy we're talking about here who everyone thought was going to be an NHL superstar and never played. He played in Switzerland. And then Maxi, then again, you're right. Every time we're on the road, say we were going to Swift Current or whatever, you'd have his 2 or 3 smoke breaks. You know, we just stop the bus, get out, you'd have a dart, and we'd get back on and we'd go. It was just, I just remember it so vividly. It's such great memories, but you're right. The stories, man, of Brian Maxwell would be incredible.
Tough as nails, that guy. Steger, thanks, man. Have yourself a great week. We'll catch up again on Wednesday.
For sure. Take care, and Retro, enjoy Florida because it's snowing here.